Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com. Welcome back to the Mining Pod. For your Saturday news roundup, we're going through the three most important things we thought happened this week. We're going to talk about hash rate breaking 400 exahash. Matt has some very wise and smart comments about public miners during that segment. I look forward to. Then we're going to talk about the XRP thing this week and what that means for the industry, and finalize with some late breaking news on Friday of Binance laying off 1,000 staff, according to the Wall Street Journal. Okay, we'll go first to hash rate. We broke 400 exahash, not according to this visual we're showing on the YouTube channel. For the audio listeners, you're not seeing it, but Mempool Space says we're not there. But I think all the other major players are saying that we're over 400 exahash.
Hash rate's going. It's going. It hasn't stopped going. It's going to keep going. Even in the middle of the summer in Texas, when we know people are participating in demand response programs.
See, that's what gets me. You can't really plug in during the summer very easily, like just willy-nilly, because demand on the grids are so high. So like people are obviously just filling capacity that they already purchased. But even then, a lot of these people probably don't have an operations team to be able to do stuff like that. So it's interesting to see this continue to go up. I was expecting this to pop up at the end of September when things cooled down in Texas, but we're still going up right now. And I guess there's other places in the globe you could plug in machines, right? So perhaps that is why.
Definitely. I mean, we saw like a little bit of you can see it down on the chart. Like hash rate fell a little bit not long ago in the summer still. And like to me that was a signal of we're curtailing. We're doing demand response. Hash rate's coming off the board, right? We're helping stabilize the grid. All positive, good things. But I think like the other force that's like providing some upward pressure is just miners are building. They're just building out. They're getting ready for the halving. They want as much hash rate as possible. They're all competing. And I think that's definitely the case for the publicly listed miners. If you just look at the half year reports, I was looking at the Bitcoin production for June and the publicly listed miners, 19% of the monthly production in June. That was from the Miner Mag. You got the graphic up right now. And that's, the majority of the public list miners. Want to comment on that?
I will comment on it. So we have Anthony's information. He's putting this together right now. We'll have the article out sometime next week once I get it from him. And he only takes miners that meet certain criteria. So it's not every public miner. But this does give a good sampling. It's about 12 of the around 20. You just add up the numbers, it's about 15% of the network hash rate. If you take 400 exahash as the total, there's probably, again, another 8 or so we're missing here. So I would say public miners as a percentage of hash rate continues to be around that like 20-25% spot. I've seen as high as 30% in the past. And likely with Marathon, Riot, CleanSpark, a few of these others continue to add hash rate aggressively, could get even higher. But it seems to be like a pretty healthy number for right now. One interesting thing about this that we'll get into later when we talk about the SEC stuff is that there have not been very many new public miners, even with like macro conditions improving and SEC conditions improving, or not SEC conditions, but just the nature of Bitcoin itself improving from a price perspective. We haven't seen a lot of people list besides the Bitdeer one a few months back. And that one was anticipated for quite a while. Hopefully next cycle there's more people listing. I actually don't mind publicly listed Bitcoin miners. I know a lot of people don't like them because they think it's fiat, but I think it's a typical part of capital formation. So we'll see if that number continues to get higher. Any final thoughts before we move on to our other stories?
Now let's keep pushing. Let's keep the show on the road.
Let's keep going. Okay, let me share my screen. Binance, right here. There we go. Binance has cut... That's pretty fun to say. Binance cut 1,000 workers in recent weeks, according to the Wall Street Journal. They have about 8,000 people on staff. Layoffs could affect upwards of third of the entire company. So there might be some more layoffs in the near future. This, of course, comes about a year after they publicly stated that they were not going to lay off many people. They were actually going to continue hiring through the bear market as they're expanding. But SEC enforcement, including a notable filing against them 2 months ago at this point, I believe, right after the day Coinbase was also filed against, shows that there are a lot of pressures you have to succumb to when the law gets involved. So they are trying to focus on density of talent at the company by laying off a lot of team members. I imagine this would probably be like a lot of support staff and marketing, things like we've seen in the past. This comes, of course, after Circle and maintainer of USDC coin laid off a portion of its staff also last week, mostly non-essential staff or non-core staff. It seemed like some lobbyists, content creators, that sort of thing, or marketing. So yeah, still tightening even with $30,000 Bitcoin. Not great to see it, but Binance has definitely been on the headlines for its embattled position as top crypto exchange worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, this honestly to me felt kind of late. Like, I know they made the announcement and they were like, oh, we're not going to fire any employees, but clearly they had the opportunity to kind of trim the fat, and it seems like they kind of needed to based off of this. And I'm not, you know, I feel for the people that got laid off here, and I think it's like evidence of that the bear market just consistently is putting pressure, right? And it's like kind of still here, even though Bitcoin is at, you know, 31 all-time high for the year, up 70%+, right? Doing great. But yeah, I mean, also it's, there's the kind of regulatory pressure, and they might feel like the backlash there means they need to make some decisions and kind of prepare for a worst case scenario. I don't know. I feel for the employees that are gone. I hope they get placed. I hope that people find the talent and the industry moves forward.
Layoffs are no fun, but are going to continue for a little bit probably. Though I think we're on the downside of it. Binance was just able to stop some of the issues because of how big it is. Okay. Oh, wow. You can see me on the screen in the same shirt here. Let's talk about XRP trading. You got a big smile right now. I hate you. For those listening, I also do a show for CoinDesk. And currently on the YouTube channel, you can watch me talking about myself, talking about XRP. Shameless plug. XRP trading volume surges 1,351% as major crypto exchanges embrace the token. Earlier this week, a split decision of sorts, meaning that the decision was sort of confusing, from a judge regarding this XRP versus SEC case, decided that it's okay for XRP to be traded programmatically, meaning on exchanges, but it is not okay for it to be sold to institutions, and that if it was sold to institutions, it would be counted as a security. But in the other case, it did not count as a security. So both a win for the SEC and also a win for the industry. It does look like XRP is going to be having some problems out of this. They're probably going to have to pay a huge fine, and then they'll probably go against this. I think the SEC also rallies against this on the other side and appeals the decision, saying that no, just because it's trading on exchange doesn't mean it's not a security. Well, I'll hand it over to you and let's talk about some of the larger ramifications. I don't know if there's a lot here for mining, but it is a pretty big boon for the token industry.
And I mean, it's just another kind of nugget in the story that's continuously developing on how the US feels about this. I think it also, you know, they're clearly going to still use things like the Howey test, and they're not going to create an entirely new framework to assess these things. They're going to keep precedent, right? And that's the way the US legal system works, and it's going to continue to apply to the crypto industry. And we'll see what they deem a security and whatnot, right? But this is a feather in their cap for sure for coming to a decision.
Definitely. Yeah, the best piece I read about this was an op-ed by Preston Byrne that you can read on CoinDesk talking about how this split decision was pretty confusing, and it's probably just going to motivate further congressional action on the topic. For everyone who's buying the token based on this decision, seems a little odd. I mean, I got an email from Kraken right before we started the show saying that they had relisted XRP for enabling of trading it, and I guess that's sort of the decision as of right now, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this appealed and overturned and changed. The last note on this was this lawsuit was originally filed in 2020. Yeah, it's been almost 3 years since this has been going through the court system. So an appeal might take quite a while. By then, we could have another alt season or something even else going on. So definitely has some long-term implications for the token market out there, which we don't cover. Okay, Matt, let's close out shop for the day. I hope you have a great weekend. See you
then. Too well.
See you soon.
Goodbye.